Yeah, I mean, I think they run a really good option plays on offense. They're aggressive. They pass the ball well. Their quarterback does a good job of evading defenders and throwing a really good ball, and their receivers do a good job of running their routes. And defensively, they're aggressive. You know, they look very quick on film. Their defensive ends come at you hard, and you know, we're going to definitely have to make sure that we can limit our turnovers on offense, and we got to be aggressive and throw the ball on defense.
As Lakeside head football coach Drew Dusky, his thoughts on the Hanover Wildcats. That's the opponent tonight. You can hear that game live pregame about 5:40 tonight after our locker room chats on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. Jason Broffitt with a call. Lakeside at Hanover. Winner moves on. Loser is done for the season. And Dusty, that's not the only game that's taking place tonight.
No, eight-man Division 1 and 2 playoffs starting tonight. Most of our area teams are in Division 2 there, so we'll get to those matchups and who's playing in the first round. Also, Osborne is at home against Lynn tonight in the first round of the playoffs. 7 o'clock kickoff tonight there at Liberty Field, and the Bulldogs against the Bulldogs here tonight in that matchup. Also in 8-man Division 2 in Beloit, St. John's Tipton is hosting Frankfort tonight. That starts at 6 o'clock. Then in the east side of the bracket of note, Pike Valley's got to make that road trip to Axtell, the number one team in the state, 8-0, the defending state champions tonight in Axtell. On the west side of the bracket, 8-man Division 2, Thunder Ridge opens against Wilson at home. The Longhorns have the Dragons there in Kensington tonight, and then also on the west side of D2, Sylvan Lucas will welcome in St. Francis into Sylvan Grove here this evening. So that's a look at what's going. That's a 6 o'clock kickoff tonight between Sylvan Lucas and St. Francis. So a look at what's going on tonight in 8-man Division 2. Division 1, Lincoln is on the road at Atwood in the first round of the playoffs at 6 tonight. And in a non-playoff game, Rock Hill is traveling to Oberlin to face Decatur Community. So that's a look at who's playing tonight as far as the first round of the 8-man playoffs and one non-playoff game are concerned.
All right. Matt Hoyer is head coach of the Hanover Wildcats. And, you know, this is Hanover is a team that is not what they once were, but they're still a pretty good football team. And Matt Hoyer on the Lakeside night offense heading that matchup tonight on KD Country 94.
I feel like they have a good rushing attack. You know, I feel like, you know, obviously everything kind of starts and stops with number two. And I feel like, you know, that's one of those things where we're going to have to, you know, really, you know, put a focus on, you know, controlling him. But at the same time, you know, they have other weapons that they can hurt you with, you know. And then the minute you really try to, you know, take one of them away, they're able to kind of hit you with something on the outside with one of the other guys. And I think that it's going to be important for us to be extremely disciplined. It's going to be important for us to understand our keys, our reads, and what our responsibilities are.
You know, Dusty, you saw Hanover earlier in the year. They're not what they once were, but they're still a talented team. They just knocked off Frankfort recently. Frankfort maybe not quite what they were. More on them coming up in a moment.
Yeah, I feel like Hanover's probably gotten better as the season's gone on with a lot of younger guys. And I saw them in week three, so they didn't look great then. They were still trying to figure some things out. They had lost a senior offensive lineman that was very important to what they wanted to get done here this year. And we're trying to adjust without him as well. And Osborne was a team that was ascending and on the rise and really took it to Hanover that night. But I have a feeling Hanover is probably going to be better tonight than they were there in week three. They made some improvements. They went 4-1 in district. And at that point, they were 0-3, right, and probably not feeling great. But I think getting wins probably has helped them out quite a bit as they go into this matchup. But, yeah, they looked a lot different. They weren't crisp in their passing game. The defense wasn't quite as good as what we've seen in the past from them. But I'm pretty confident they're going to be better tonight.
All right, Jason will have the call. It'll be Hanover and Lakeside tonight and kickoff at 6, pregame at 5:45 between the Knights and the Wildcats, as we'll send Jason to do football and then he'll do volleyball tomorrow. And Dusty and I will be slackers and not do football tonight.
I got totem pulled. It works the other way. I got more to do.
Yeah, you do.
More good stuff to do.
Right. Yeah, we're making up for the time you didn't get to do stuff because of the lightning damage.
Right. It's not like you make me shingle the roof or anything like that. Right.
That's next year.
Yeah.
That's next year. Actually, it better not be next year. It just got re-shingled for crying out loud. We had an opportunity to make you do that,
I know.
Maybe work with Rod on some downspouts and guttering. You know, Rod would be happy to work with you, I'm sure, on that. So that's one of three TVL NPL matchups in the playoffs tonight. Lakeside at Hanover. Also, Lynn is on the road to take on the Osborne Bulldogs. Osborne a heavy favorite in this one. Lynn, of course, from the TBL as well. Lakeside beat Lynn in week one in a high-scoring affair. Osborne gets their shot at the Bulldogs. Coach Tiernan on Lynn.
Yeah, they do a little bit of everything, and really they're good size. I mean, they're pretty big kids, and they've got a running back that looks like he's pretty fast and a quarterback that's pretty good size that runs hard. So if they've got to, they can throw the ball. So we'll have to be ready for anything.
Yeah, you expect Osborne to handle business tonight, don't you?
Yeah. When you talk about it, that's kind of window dressing right there,
yeah,
I think Coach
so.
Tiernan.
Yeah,
but
sure. That's good speak.
Yeah, you know, Lynn does have the ability to score. I will say that. But I think Osborne, the way they play defensively, is as fast as they play, that they should be in pretty good shape tonight with this one against the other Bulldogs.
Yes, I feel pretty confident. I like the Bulldogs to win tonight.
Yes.
I'm feeling very, very confident about that. Osborne hosting Lynn tonight. Is that a 7 o'clock game?
That is.
Okay, that is a 7 o'clock yep. game. And then another matchup between the NPL and the TVL. Frankfort comes to Beloit to take on the St. John's Tipton Blue Jays. These teams have faced each other in the playoffs in years past. Frankfort maybe not quite as good as they once were, but don't tell that to the head coach of St. John's Tipton, Dean Gingler. Kickoff at 6 o'clock tonight in Beloit. The Blue Jays hosting the Frankfort Wildcats, and Coach Gingler says, it's still Frankfort. They have talent.
I don't know if I'd necessarily say less talented, but definitely less experienced in the talent that they have. And so I think that's probably the primary difference between them and what we've seen before, because in the past, they've had, you know, really experienced teams coming in, and kind of a different season, about back and forth a bit for them. But I think only two seniors on the roster. So all those young guys that have been playing are now basically got a full season under their belts.
It's an interesting game tonight, I think.
It should be, for sure. You know, I think people are going to automatically give the edge to St. John's Tipton just based on the record coming in, but I think Frankfort is, again, kind of like Hanover, a team that's getting better as the season's gone on, and you just heard Coach Gingler saying, you know, those guys are young, but they're experienced by now, mm-hmm. and so this could be a matchup that the St. John's Tip, they're going to definitely have to show up and play and execute their best to get out of here with a win, for sure.
All right, so Frankfort at St. John's Tipton in Beloit tonight. That kickoff is slated for 6 o'clock. Thunder Ridge is a heavy favorite tonight as they will welcome the Dragons to town. Wilson is the opponent. Joel Struckoff, really, it's like the song I played earlier today, a Bachman Turner overdrive, taking care of business, right, Coach Struckoff?
Just from watching film, they got two guys that are pretty athletic, that's not very big athletes, but they're very shifty athletes. And, you know, just have to play efficient against them. Just have to do what you do and come out and set the tone right away with them on how you want to play the game. A roster size, they're not overly big, so I think that's one of the advantages we have against Wilson, is that they're not a very big football team.
And Thunder Ridge should be all right tonight.
Absolutely. Wilson has struggled at times this year, and especially against, if you go in, if you're not very big and you're trying to go against Thunder Ridge, that doesn't add up real well if you're not going to have the athletes to go beat them. And with the youth and the younger team and the inexperience maybe that Wilson might have, that's going to be difficult for them tonight.
All right, and then Sylvan Lucas is taking on St. Francis this evening. Here's Ben Laberty on the matchup.
They're better than their record. You know, they start out with some tough teams, some bigger schools out west. They're athletic. They throw the ball all over the place. They got one of the better running backs I think we'll have seen all year. So, you know, we got to be ready to play. It's gonna be a tough one.
All right, thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I don't know a lot about St. Francis, to be honest with you. I know Thunder Ridge beat them 50-0, but that's not saying a lot. I mean, Thunder Ridge has dominated a lot of teams this year and over the past couple seasons. So I will say that Sylvan Lucas is a team that definitely needs to execute every night to have the most success that they can. I don't think they're a team that can just roll into a game because they're better and just go win it without trying, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that Coach Laberty, I mean, they beat a Central Plains team that's not great this year by 6 points. So you got to go in, you got to execute, and you never know who those teams are playing when they don't have great records. So this could be interesting. I think I'd definitely still give the edge to Sylvan Lucas tonight, though.
Okay, so that's a look at high school football playoffs in 8-man tonight. Then tomorrow, Smith Center will take on Whitewater Remington. They wanted to play on Thursday. Whitewater Remington apparently has teacher conferences and things like that.
That's what I've heard, and they're having school tomorrow too. So yeah, they
didn't want to mess all that
come up Thursday night and then go to school tomorrow and then have to, you know, be
right.
Tired and lethargic and everything like that.
Sure. And I was told that, and since the teams didn't agree, then it's Acacia's decision. I'm sure that helped Acacia's decision to say keep it on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then Beloit will be hosting Larner tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, Trojan Field there in Beloit. We'll have the live video stream at ncksports.com, available at Trojan Channel, pregame at 6:45. There will be no play-by-play announcing. There will be natural sound. If Kohler and Colton want to call the game through the camera audio, they're welcome to do that. I told Kohler that yesterday. I said, hey, just watch what you say, but you can certainly call the action if you like to, as we will be covering state volleyball, and I'll be in Hutch covering the Lady Trojans. Other games of note tomorrow night?
I don't even have that.
Ellsworth and Garden Plain. Ellsworth and Garden Plain. I like that one because that's going to be my closest game pick'em.
There you go.
I'm just going to reveal that now because we got to do that. We're not doing the Express this week. There's no time on the schedule, but we can still do our closest pick'em contest. And by the way, I know what Todd will try to do, the weasel that Todd Clover is. It's a joke, okay? He's a good friend of ours. But what he will try to do is he'll try to pick a game between two teams that are playing each other, aren't very good, they're not in a playoff game. No. You have to pick a playoff game.
Pick a bracket.
It's not a non-playoff game, cross-district, last place versus last place. Of course, those games should be closer. No, you got to pick a playoff game. And, of course, I look at Todd. Here's Todd's choices. He can take Beloit, Sacred Heart, Southeast Saline, Chase, Lakeside, Lincoln, Natoma, Osborne, Pike Valley, Rock Hill, Seventh Cloud, Tescott, Thunder Ridge, Wilson, and Smith Center. So he's got a lot of options. I had Ellsworth, Minneapolis, Chippewa County, Sacred Heart, Chase, Lakeside, Lincoln, Natoma, Osborne, Pike Valley, Southern Cloud, St. John's, Tipton, Seven Lucas, Tescott. So we all have a lot of choices yet. Mm-hmm. The question is the matchups, but I'm going to go with Ellsworth versus Garden Plain. That's a two-way game tomorrow night. Southeast Saline has Haven. Mm-hmm. I'm going off my memory bank here. Yeah, yep. Then Concordia in 3A. They
Collegiate.
Have Collegiate. Yeah. At Collegiate. And I think that covers most of it.
Yeah, Minneapolis is playing tomorrow night, and I can't remember who they've got.
Rossville.
Rossville, yeah.
Rossville, yep. At yep. Rossville. Rossville's 4-4, but their losses are the good teams. I try to tell people, John Betts, if you're listening, Silver Lake, don't sleep on Silver Lake. They're ranked in the top five, according to a lot of people, going into the playoffs. I try to tell people, Silver Lake, you know, their schedule's just too tough. Well, Silver Lake, man. And I
think they had to learn some things about themselves early in the season, but by now they've definitely figured it out.
And that's what I counted on. Yeah. I counted on good coaching, the kids. Yeah. There's a tradition there, and they beat Rossville in a great game, and so they knocked off Rossville. They've kind of had their problems against Rossville the last few years. Rossville not quite as good, obviously, but Silver Lake, a lot of inexperience, and they're doing fine. I don't think anybody thinks they're probably the team that's going to come out of the East. I think that's Nemaha Central.
Yeah.
But you know, who knows? Who knows? You know, Sabetha's still a team 24/7 in that game they played last week, Nemaha Central, Sabetha, and they're rivals. So they can meet again. And on the West, it certainly looks like Southeast is the class of the West in Class 2A.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's now jump into our Athletes of the Week, Dusty.
Yes, the Beloit Lady Trojan volleyball team has been named the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athletes of the Week. Clearly a great season for them, headed to the 3A State Volleyball Tournament for the sixth time in the past eight seasons. They won the Minneapolis 3A Substate this past Saturday, winning two over Riley County to open the tournament, then 1-2 over Marysville in the semis, beat Phillipsburg 25-22, 25-17 in the championship match there in Minneapolis on Saturday. They're 34-5 overall, winning the Republic County tournament September 17th, the second place finish at Concordia October 1st, a couple third place finishes in tournaments this year as well. The Lady Trojans were 9-1 in the North Central Activities Association this season, winning the league title for the seventh consecutive season, eight of the last 9 years. They also have won 80 of their last 82 league matches, so an outstanding season for Beloit that continues, and next up is the 3A State Tournament. Pool play on Friday. They'll play Cheney at 3:30, Nemaha Central around 6:30, and Smoky Valley around 7:30. All of those matches can be heard on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. Full play-by-play coverage from Hutchinson coming up tomorrow. So congratulations to the Beloit Lady Trojans, our Athletes of the Week.
All right. So you went through the Beloit volleyball schedule for tomorrow. We got Smith Center and St. John's Tipton tomorrow as well.
Yeah, Smith Center will start with their first matches at 9:30. We'll have pre-match coverage beginning at 9:15, so Smith Center will take on Valley Heights to open out, also playing Inman in pool play there, and now I don't have the schedule in front of me, and I forgot their third one because I'm
probably
being
everybody
else.
Dusty's really prepared here. Jason, you know what? I should have let him sleep in. Oh, wait a minute.
I just
did. He came in. Yeah.
I just always put the check out ncksports.com on my sportscast here, so...
Goodness gracious.
I got too many names and schools going in my brain right now.
My goodness. Good thing I didn't have him do a football game tonight.
Hey, I'm prepared for everything that I need to do on the day I need to do it.
What do you want? What did you not have here? You want me to handle this now? So Deuce, State volleyball, the
yes.
matchups?
All right. They play Valley Heights, yes. They play Inman. And yep. then I dropped the last
okay.
one out of my brain.
So here we go. I'll help you out. I'll go to ncksports.com and read
exactly.
it word for word.
That's what I tell everybody,
yeah.
right?
Smith Center Valley Heights at 9:15 pre-match coverage, 9:30 first serve. Yep. Smith Center Garden Plain.
Garden Plain.
Who I just talked yeah. about Garden Plain against Ellsworth is my closest game in football. That'll be the 11:30 matchup, and then 1:30 Smith Center against Inman. That's the final pull play matchup for 2A State Volleyball or Smith Center. Now, those times are approximate. Now, they will play at well, actually, that is approximate still.
Approximate,
yeah, all of them. Yeah. St. John's Tipton, they will start at 10 tomorrow. And Beloit should start at 3:30 unless they're really running late with the 4A pool play in the morning tomorrow. So that's the Smith Center side of things. You want me to do St. John's or are you going to do that one?
Hey, I just didn't have time
okay.
to all
right.
shift from
okay.
Google Drive
okay.
to the website.
Okay. All right.
But
okay.
I can do St. John's
okay.
if you need
it. Awesome. I'll
Tipton.
Hand it to you, yeah.
Garden Plain, I don't know why, just dropped out of my mind when I was talking about
it's
it.
It's all right. It's all right. If that's the worst thing that happens this week, we're in pretty good
yeah.
shape.
Yeah.
And just don't forget your equipment when you head to Dodge.
Yeah, and it's already in my car.
Good. I mean, well played.
And I'm not even focused on 11-man football right now
yeah.
because of my volleyball
no,
is in
I
my
understand.
Brain. So that's
I
why I didn't have all that in front of me.
Well, the reason I went over is because I know we won't all be here tomorrow.
Exactly.
So, and then we won't really have a sports ticket show because we'll have 9:15 pregame at Smith
yeah,
Center. So.
Exactly. So, St. John's Tipton plays in Emporia tomorrow, 1A Division II, as they will take on Central Christian. 9:45 will be pre-match coverage there, 10 o'clock start, and then around noon they'll play Ingalls, and then around 3 o'clock the number one seed Lebo, who's 39-1, will be the matchup there for St. John's Tipton at Emporia tomorrow with Jason on the call.
All right, should be 9:45 straight up there for our pre-match coverage tomorrow for Emporia with Jason, unless we have some kind of technical difficulty, but we'll cross our fingers nothing like that happens. Emporia is a unique setup, to say the least, when it comes to state volleyball. Still don't like the Emporia host of state volleyball tournament. When you negate a jump serve because your bleachers are way too close and you can't jump serve, that kind of takes away a pretty big important element of volleyball.
It does,
but
for
another,
sure.
Another complaint to syndication. I'm sure they don't
yeah.
have any others to deal with. That's for sure. Okay, so as I cover local sports, I think?
Yeah, I
locker
believe
room
so.
Chats
yeah,
tonight.
Locker room chats. They'll be shorter tonight. We'll talk with the coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas. And they're going to start probably just a little bit earlier, about 5:10 here, hopefully this evening, with our locker room chats on Katy Country 94. If you ever miss them, check them out at the Locker Room Chat Podcast, katycountry94.com.
All right, we're going to do this today real quickly. We've got a few minutes because tomorrow we won't be together, and there will be maybe a 5-minute sports ticket show tomorrow, if that. Two big games in college football for area college football teams, and that, of course, is Kansas State and Nebraska. KU has the week off. The Chiefs don't play this weekend either. So K-State, ranked 22nd, 5-2 overall, 3-1 in the Big 12, will play at 2:30 on Saturday afternoon on Fox. They're a 1.5-point favorite over the 9th-ranked Oklahoma State Cowboys, who come in 6-1, 3-1 in conference play. Their only loss, double overtime to TCU, the only loss for K-State, of course, in Big 12 play was last week. Chris Klieman has not beaten Oklahoma State since he's been at K-State. He's 0-3. Oklahoma State won last year 31-20. Of course, injury is a story. Adrian Martinez, he may or may not play. Deuce Vaughn should be good to go. Daniel Green, it looks like he's going to be out for maybe an extended period of time. That really hurts the K-State defense. Kellis Robinette was with us yesterday. He talked about all those injuries. Julius Prince is questionable. Corner for K-State. Khalid Duke's going to miss the first half due to a targeting call. Those are some of the main names. There's a few others that are banged up, too. This will be the third straight year with a backup quarterback starting against Oklahoma State if Martinez can't give it a go on Saturday. But Kellis points something out that I wasn't aware of, and that's why I love having guests on our show. He said Oklahoma State's banged up pretty bad, too. Their quarterback is nicked up. Spencer Sanders, not 100%. They could possibly have 10 starters out combined on Saturday due to all kinds of injuries. So we're really going to see the depth of both those teams. Oklahoma State at K-State. And this is really, I agree with Kellis. This is an elimination game. In order to make it for the Big 12 title game later this year in Dallas, you can't afford to have a second loss this early because you're halfway through the season. You got some tough games on the horizon. Oklahoma State should have beat TCU. K-State, I think, would have if they didn't have all the injuries. So, elimination game. Who wins? K-State, Oklahoma State. Assuming Will Howard's quarterback, because I don't know where Martinez is going to go.
It is so hard to try to pick this game. I'm going to say Oklahoma State wins by a field goal in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And Oklahoma State might be banged up too, but
ball control is going to be huge.
Spencer Sanders is playing and at least effective.
Oh, he's going to play.
That's going to be tough, I feel like, for K-State, because I think that some of the key guys for Oklahoma State probably are still there, right?
Right.
They're playmakers and things like that. I've not even had time to research much of that this week, but I'm going to pick Oklahoma State.
I will, too. K-State's a 1.5-point favorite in that one. And then other Big 12 games this weekend, TCU's at West Virginia. I'm calling the upset. I think this is the perfect place for an upset. TCU's had four very highly emotional, tough games that they pulled out of the fire. And unless they knock out West Virginia's quarterback, which seems to happen every week for TCU. West Virginia beat Baylor 2 weeks ago on a Thursday night. West Virginia's defense is not that good, I know, but TCU's isn't great either. And West Virginia just was embarrassed by Texas Tech in Lubbock, 48-10. I'm going to go with the same reasoning I had with Oklahoma beating Kansas. Oklahoma was embarrassed the week before on a road. They come back. They'll be at home. The crowd will be behind them. This could be kind of their Super Bowl to knock off a top 10 team because TCU's now number 7 in the polls across the country. I think TCU is right for an upset, and then all of a sudden the loser of K-State, Oklahoma State, might not be out of the Big 12 title race. So I'm calling my upset there. West Virginia knocks off TCU. Last year, West Virginia went into Fort Worth and won, believe it or not. Oklahoma's at Iowa State at 11 a.m. on Saturday. Baylor's at Texas Tech at 6:30. Baylor still has a decent chance to get in a Big 12 title game despite a slow start. Nebraska's got a big game. They take on Illinois. Illinois ranks 17th in the country, believe it or not. They're 6-1, 3-1 in the Big 10. They lead the Big 10 West. Nebraska's 2-2, still has a chance to make it to the Big 10 title game, which is insane because how bad the Big 10 West is. Illinois won 5 in a row. 2:30 on ABC afternoon game. Both teams have 2 weeks to prepare. Illinois beat Minnesota 2 weeks ago. So they've had 2 weeks to prepare. Nebraska played Purdue, lost 2 weeks ago. Illinois won this game a year ago. If you remember the season opener where Nebraska just fell apart, special teams and everything else, Nebraska should have won. Illinois won a 30-22. Who you got, Huskers or Illinois, Big Red, Jason?
I got Illinois.
Whoa, well. At Nebraska's got
at
Illinois.
Nebraska, yep.
All right. I'll be different. I'll say Nebraska gets it done.
Northwestern is technically not eliminated from the Big Ten West.
Have they won a game since beat Nebraska?
Yeah, they did this whole thing. It's very unlikely, but it's possible.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
And anything's possible.
4-8 could win the Big Ten West.
Unbelievable. Yeah. You should just give it up to the second place team in the East. Simple as that. So what do you think? Nebraska, Illinois, Dusty? You taking Illinois?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take Nebraska and upset. Why? I don't know. Just want to be different.
Yeah.
Thursday night NFL football, week 8 of the season begins tonight. It is the Buccaneers hosting the Ravens. The Ravens are 4-3 and should really be 6-1 or 7-0. The Buccaneers are 3-4 and they've lost 4 of the last 5 after a 2-0 start. Tom Brady struggled. The offense struggled. The defense is having problems. Kickoff set for 7:15 tonight on Amazon Prime Video, and I couldn't be more of a Raven fan than I've ever been before. I like to see the Buccaneers be buried, and I like to see Brady. Like I got all the memes here. I gave up football. I gave up my wife for this, type of thing. It's like, dude, that was your choice. She's a supermodel. That was your choice. Maybe Brady's not as smart as we think. But anywho, Amazon Prime Video, 7:15 tonight, Bucks and the Ravens. World Series tomorrow night, game 1, best 4 out of 7, 7:03 in Houston. Astros, I'm sure, will be a heavy favorite against the Phillies. The last two teams that have started sweeping the Division Series and the Championship Series, the Rockies in 07, the Royals in 14, they both lost the World Series. The Astros, are they going to change it and they're going to win it this year? I'm picking the Phillies! I am on the Bryce Harper Philly bandwagon. I jumped on after they beat the Braves. I think this team is destined to win it all. I there's only one reason I would cheer for the Astros, and that's because Dusty Baker, I think, is a class act, and that guy deserves a ring, and this would be the final thing for him. Remember, he slid in as manager because the Astros had the cheating scandal, and their manager got fired, and Dusty came in, and he stabilized everything. Of course, he had a lot of talent to work with, but Dusty has done a nice job. He blew it as manager of the Giants in the World Series, and we had Barry Bonds lost to the Angels. Dusty Baker, that's the only reason I'm cheering for the Astros. It would be Dusty Baker to get his ring. That would be great. But I think the Phillies are just a team that's just got on this tremendous run. They've got pitching that matches up with Houston, at least in the starting rotation. Now, the bullpen worries me just a hair, and I know logic tells you pick the Astros, but logic would also have told you to pick the Cardinals, the Braves, and the Padres. So I'm just going to be illogical, and I'm going to go with Cinderella, Philly, fanatical, Philly, Phillies to win the World Series in 7 games.
I'm going that way, too.
Phillies?
I'll go 7.
I convinced him. He's on the wagon, baby.
That's what I want to happen, too.
Uh-huh.
And so
you can cheer for it.
Yeah, and I also kind of think the same thing you are. They're just on that roll. I don't know.
I love it.
I think the major difference here with the two teams you mentioned, the Rockies and Royals, mm-hmm. is they were teams that just got hot when the playoffs started, right, and just went on a run.
True.
The Phillies are kind of more similar to that. Right. They got hot, went on a run.
Absolutely.
Here. The Astros have been outstanding
all year long.
And so it's not a surprise that they were able to roll through.
Right.
And that's, I think, the difference, and I think Houston's going to win it in six.